Welcome to A Course in Miracles. The section we're in is called Heralds to Eternity. Calling to Forever. Calling to Beyond. Heralds to Eternity. So tonight we're going to look at an aspect of your awakening. An aspect of your spiritual awakening that is actually you visiting for a moment. Usually it's very brief. You visiting your spiritual being. It only happens for a moment. Because you're in a world where that's blocked. That's not even welcomed. But it is eternity you're touching on. What I'm talking about is the holy instant. We're going to talk about the holy instant tonight. The holy instant is you actually abiding in your eternal being just for a moment. So it goes beyond time. It goes beyond space. You can't be connected to space. You will not be connected to time either in the holy instant. When they happen, they are this stark contrast to the busy granularity of the ego. And there are only two types of instances. An unholy instant and a holy instant. And there's no neutral. Which means that if you're not resting in God, then you are busy with the ego. Always, always, always. And if you ever want to start a meditation, you can sit there and ask yourself, which am I busy with right now? The ego or the Holy Spirit? Just by calling them out, your mind will start to sort and say, well, here's what the ego has to say about my situation. Holy Spirit, you want to weigh in? And you just go quiet. And you're just calling on the Holy Spirit. But you will notice when you go back and forth like this, there is no neutral. So you're either calling to the ego or you're calling to eternity. But you're never resting in between, doing nothing. You must bust the ego that says you can actually wait on how you feel. You don't wait on how you feel about something. Feelings, by the way, are evidence of your thoughts, evidence of your belief. That's what a feeling is.
I guess that thought comes first.
That thought comes first.
I'll never forget.
You wouldn't know what to feel about if you didn't think first. And then perceive. And then you have time to judge. It could be pretty quick. But you do. All based on that thought. You bet. No thoughts, no perception. No perception, no feelings. You don't know what to feel about.
Well, judging helps calibrate your feelings.
Oh my God. Calibrate, multiply, execute.
Hypothesize.
Hypothesize, share.
I think it also expands your feelings.
You bet.
I've just been thoroughly calibrated.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to be proven wrong, would you?
You wouldn't want to be wrong. You'd rather be right than happy. Much too often. So, the holy instant. The holy instant is a call for an abiding in eternity. Outside of time, outside of space. Now here's the one that's even more interesting. When you're in the holy instant, you are not separated. And so if you're in a relationship, if you're sharing a moment with somebody, and the miracle occurs, which is a shift in perception, and then forgiveness occurs, which is releasing your stinking thinking about your wrong thought anyway, then you relax and say, I'm so glad I was wrong. You've been there. I'm so glad I was wrong. I'd much rather love in this moment than be judgmental or doubting or fearful or guilting or all the unholy instincts can bring. You say, I don't even need to. It's not real. That's a holy instant. Do you see what happens? Right then, when you change your mind about being in trouble, right then, when you change your mind about having to worry, right then, when it shows up in your mind that you don't have to have fear, a miracle occurs about the situation. A shift in perception occurs. And then you proceed to cancel the harmful thoughts you are about to execute. You proceed to cancel, which means forgive. You proceed to release the thoughts that would follow up on the mistake that this person wanted to hurt you, that you owe, even you owe a bunch of money, that the car is not missing. You come in the parking lot, and I know I parked it there. It's been stolen or towed. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's not. It's over there. There was a shift in perception about the car. Then there had to be a release of the thoughts that the car was stolen, because that juju is still there. Then you relax. You release all of that stinking thinking. And in that brief moment, you're free. It's the same pattern that will occur in your ultimate spiritual awakening as it will discovering your car is not missing. See, there's no order in difficulty, in miracles. They're all the same level. Car or your identity as an ego, as a body. It's the same level. It's not harder.
That should be. This holy instant technically takes no time at all.
Correct.
It's just a flash of inspiration.
Correct.
Pure intuition.
Yep.
Okay. Just want to clarify that.
Yep. Flash of awareness. Flash of sobriety. A flash of certainty. In a being that lives uncertain. That's your ego. That's you, uncertain, all the time. And then suddenly you're certain. Even for a moment. It's really extreme contrast. It's a wonderful place to be. They happen all the time. But you don't often regard them. You don't often see the pattern that's going on. But there is no order and difficulty in miracles. They're all corrections from the mistaken back to the truth. So let's think about that for a little bit. Think about that holy instant. Think about that freedom of mind that each of you have felt when you loosened the guilt, when you let go of the fear, when you dropped the guilt, either from you or from somebody else. Doesn't matter. Pick something pedantry if you want. Something very simple. It doesn't have to be some big grand spiritual release of your... Learn about the holy instant from something very practical. And then you will have more of them in your life. You will become right-minded by noticing the holy instants that are already in your life that aren't so spiritual. It's not required. So let's think about that for a few minutes. You're thinking about, look through your life for a holy instant. Try to come back to a memory of something where you were all worried, or you were intensely troubled,
okay,
fearful, guiltful, doubtful, sick, whatever it is, and then it changed. It changed. There was a shift in perception for whatever reason, from whatever source. And you went from being so contracted, so small, so fearful, angry, lonely, tired, pick whatever it is. And because something changed, you had to start to release your thoughts that you were so busy thinking of how bad this is, or lonely this is, or angry this is, or guilty this is, or find a situation in your life where you dealt with something difficult and it shifted and you had to let go of these difficult thoughts. And remember that instant when you took your first easy breath, when you decided to let yourself off the hook and say, well, that's over. Take a look. Find something. Find something in your life, doesn't matter how simple, big or small, find something that had this contrast after a shift. Bridget, can you think of something that was all problematic and then it wasn't?
Yeah, there was a... Ken and I were having a little difference of opinion. It was like, I love you. I'm like, eee!
I'm feeling sorry for Ken right now.
Oh, I know. And I could see myself doing it. It was like, help me see this differently. Help me see this differently. Holy Spirit, you know, just... And it wasn't until, like, we got back to the house and I just started laughing and realized it was just the silliest thing of what we were arguing about even, and then just turning my self away from love.
Yeah.
Was just like, ugh! Especially when he said it, I'm just like, and it was just like slow motion watching myself go, ugh, no. But I, you know, like observing that. Yeah. It wasn't until later that it was just so ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Just, I laughed. I laughed out loud. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different times that I just laugh at things where I'm thinking and then realize that's not it. I can choose differently here.
Yeah. It's not even real anymore. That you would choke on those words and feel that way, and you're laughing about it because it's not even real anymore. You see the, I don't know, whatever judgment you want to put on the ego's take of it. Was it childish? Was it selfish? Was it unfounded? Was it something? And you just shift now because there's... You don't feel that way. You were thinking that way. Now you don't feel that way. Now you don't think that way.
But I love what you said about, I'm so happy I'm wrong.
Yes.
Because that's what I was like, oh, and I couldn't say it. I couldn't say. And I knew it was right on my lips going, this is ridiculous, you know.
Yeah. Just. Yeah. Now that's a great, I love your description of that, because this is also the way the world, time and space and the world works. You have a clear moment. You realize you were drowning in ego thoughts, whether it was anger or fear or worries about the test result. You were so, so buried in the worry about the test result. And then you find out the test result comes up and you know what? You're okay. Or we don't know, we can come back tomorrow. Whatever it is, you can stop worrying at least for a while. Then the world will come back like water and drown you again.
Hmm.
Almost like you made a contract with the ego.
Yeah, you have. The ego's got a job.
You're a set in time.
But you have a clear moment when you're not drowning. This is the holy instant.
It's a good analogy, the water coming in, because that happens. It's like that constant, wait a minute, I want to see this differently.
Yes.
And things clear, and then,
yes.
Within like 10 seconds, it's right back in that same
drowning
of
Yes. But as a Course in Miracles student, you now have the ability to see the difference, to see the light versus the dark. And you now value the light way more than the dark, because you know you can actually abide in the light. You know that light is more true than the dark. This you now know because of your studies, because you've chosen to awaken from the dream of darkness. You now know what it means to be awake.
It just seems like it takes a while.
It does. Hey, you've been at it for a while. You've been practicing the ego for a long time. And it's surrounding you. That water is surrounding you. And if you stop treading, you'll just go back in.
Good analogy.
That's how it is here. You must be vigilant.
You must remain vigilant to the Holy Spirit, I guess, isn't
it? That's right. You must be vigilant. Yeah. And it turns out it's so much easier to be vigilant with the Holy Spirit than it is to be grounded in the ego. It's so much more pleasant. Sleep better. You're happier. You like yourself more. People like you more. When you're not doing the unholy spirit. Mm-hmm. But you really need some practice to have your head above water a few times. To relax into spirit and say, I can trust this. I can actually do this. I can actually not be afraid, not be guilty, not be angry, not be lonely. I can actually do that for a minute and I like it better. That is what you have accomplished with A Course in Miracles. Hmm. I've heard you say it several times now. Holy Instant, she had. Because you laughed. Well, you stood out of it. You were walking down the horse paddocks and you realized that you were just arguing with yourself. No, I'm not. And you laughed and you were done. Mm-hmm. This is you now. You have that freedom. Mm-hmm. It's good. Good analogy. So grab the Holy Instant and take a few breaths in it, because here comes the water. That's something else is going to be wrong any minute.
Another analogy. It's like a life preserver. Got HS on it. The HS freedom.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm the right answer.
I thought you were going with the whole answer.
So this is a situation you had that was difficult, and then something shifted, and it wasn't difficult anymore, and you had to let go of your thinking.
Well, since I'm like the new kid on the block and whatever, it's kind of nerve-wracking to think about a situation. My ego was busy trying to think of something that would be good to share.
There you go. That a girl. That a girl. Yeah.
And so I did come up with a situation, and I went for my written driving test.
Yeah.
Or not written driving, that's not what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
I just had to go in to renew my license and take a written exam.
Okay, there
and
we go.
And so I studied really hard, okay, and then when I got to the DMV, I was kind of cocky. And, you know, I thought, oh, I'm just going to go in, check the little boxes, and then I'm going to pass.
Okay.
Well, but the ego was sneaking in, and I was getting nervous. And then when I started reading the questions, my mind was just going blank. And so what happened was, but I was still confident that I was going to pass, but I got it to the counter. And I was watching this first question I got wrong. And the gal is checking off on the box, you know. And she just kept checking. This is so humiliating. My ego was, like, really tripping. And then, so, of course, you're only allowed to miss three.
Uh-huh.
And I missed four.
Uh-huh.
And so I stood there, and my heart fell to my feet. Ego was telling me, you know, I knew you were not going to get it, you know, And so the woman looks at me, and she says, gosh, she says,
you know, it's not that bad. She says, you can come back and take it. And I said, I don't want to come back. I want to take it again now. So she gave me instructions, and I'm still, you know, I kind of, the ego took me down a few pegs, and I'm thinking, and she, and so I go back, and it was like, it was a holy instant the second time, because I was paying attention, and it was effortless, and all of that, and I didn't have the mind chatter. I thought, you know, is this guy going to fall in if you flunk again? No. But anyway, so then I went back, and I got a perfect score. And she looks at me. You look so beautiful. I love the look on your face. You just like, wow. You just went from this really glum to, you know, like...
Yes.
And that was holy for me.
Yes, indeed.
To be able to catch my thoughts.
Yep.
And then switch my perception.
You went through loss.
Yeah.
Right, what we're talking about is the approach to the holy instant. We're going to talk about holy instant tonight. That's our focus. And the holy instant is preceded by a miracle, which is a shift in perception. You've got some problem going on. Your life is difficult. Things are tough. You're definitely going to lose. It's going to hurt. It's going to cost. You're fearful. You're sick or something. And then things change. Something happened. Some news came in or some perceptions we shifted. And you don't have to worry anymore. Now you're stuck with this habitual thinking. Because you were so sure there was a problem. But there isn't a problem. For whatever reason, the miracles occurred. But now it's time to let go of those thoughts. So you do. You work it through. All right. And we're looking at tonight, after you've had some situation in your life, things looked bad. But then they weren't bad. That moment when you decide you need to no longer punish yourself is a holy instant. That moment is what we're looking at tonight. And for Zoe, great example, you... fought your way through loss. You actually failed. And you decide to put aside the fear. You could have crawled in the corner and cried and went home and could have hired somebody to help you study more. I don't know what you would have done. The ego could have had you do all sorts of things. But instead, you decide to take confidence from somewhere and say, I'm going to do it again. And gave yourself a chance to win. Gave yourself a chance to go back to peace. But you had to work through that. You had to be vigilant.
Right.
And you were vigilant with your information, and then you got a chance to release. When it was all done, it's a perfect score, and you're out in the parking lot or somewhere. You went, yeah. You said, fold them again! Yeah. Can't actually see my hood. But you were free.
Yes. Yeah.
Somewhere in there, you were free. For who knows how many more years you have to take the test again or whatever. It doesn't matter. You were free. I want you to recognize that there's that passage from trouble to freedom that is the holy instant, and you have to look at it. Because, like our analogy with Bridget, the water will return to drown you very soon with something else in the world.
Yeah.
So when your head is above water and you can breathe easy, it's good to notice it. It's good to remember Zoe's going like this in the parking lot.
Right.
And for Bridget, to remember that laughter, that free moment, that's you. That's eternity. Mm. This is from where you came. And it's to where you return. It's way bigger than this little life. So when you touch it, grab it. Look at it. Celebrate it.
Good.
Ray, we'll come back to you. Maybe you can think of something in your life where you had some difficulty that was solved. And that transition from trouble to not trouble. And then we'll pick up the holy instinct.
Kenny?
Yes.
There's something in your life that was troublesome and got free?
Well, I went to Bank of America today.
Okay.
And when I left, I said, I hate Bank of America. I hate Bank of America. I hate Bank of America. I didn't say I hated the manager or the teller.
Good.
So, listening to Zoe, I was with her. You know what I'm saying? I was enjoying the movie.
Yeah.
You know, and then I dropped back to other stories and then listened to her again.
Yes.
And then with Carol, Carol says, "You ever see fireflies?" It's like, "Oh yeah, I've seen fireflies," and I enjoyed her story, listening to her. I was watching her.
Yes.
And then I got, oh, I could tell you about my fireflies. I want to stay with her.
Yes. You want to.
Yeah.
You want to stay with her fireflies.
Yeah.
And share that.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice story.
Yeah. You want to. That's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. When you want to share. Let's go back to Bank of America, though.
Yes.
Because we've really got two great things going on here, but I want to go back to Bank of America.
Yes.
It's an easy one.
Because, interesting that you chose to hate the thing you can't change.
Yeah, right.
The location, the branch you can change, there's another one 16 blocks down.
Oh, yeah, I got four more to choose from.
That means different managers, different everything. But Bank of America, when you say it that way?
Yeah.
You can't change Bank of America. If you hate Bank of America and you keep training yourself on, I hate, for example, I hate life.
Yeah.
I hate God. Mm-hmm. I hate these big amorphous things that you can't change. The ego says, I will bury you forever.
Yes.
I won't bury Bank of America forever. You'll have to go to Wells Fargo. We'll hate on them later, maybe. But at least what you can kill.
Or banks in general.
Banks in general. Or God in general. Or life in general.
Yes.
Or happiness. Or health. All these things. See? So, this is what A Course in Miracles is for, is to take you back to the specific where the trouble thoughts were made. We say, there's no order in difficulty in miracles. Because they're all the same level. And so whether it's health or whether it's Bank of America, I love it. Great example, because it busts the ego to get specific. To get to what am I actually beating myself up with right now. Where it tells us in way up in chapter 26 or so, and it says, you know what? We've been talking miracles for 500 pages. By now it's time to recognize that you find the miracle waiting for you. Custom made. Won't work for Walt, won't work for me. Custom made right behind your grievance. Right behind the very problem that you decided has broke the camel's back. The very problem you decided is too much. Right behind your suffering is the Holy Spirit's reinterpretation of the problem. That's what a miracle is. It's a reinterpretation of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Shift in perception follows when you look at it differently. But if the problem is Bank America, if the problem is life, the problem is God, you're not even looking for a solution. I love that example. But if you say, you know what, this particular manager reminds me of my high school teacher who flunked me. I can't deal with him. There's a miracle waiting right there.
Yeah.
You can just let... You can let Bank of America be Bank of America. You can let him be him.
Yeah.
And now you can let go of the hate thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that what happened? Did you get any relief on Bank of America?
What's that?
You went to Carol's. You told me about Hey, Make America, and you jumped to a firefly.
Yeah.
So, without calling you Joe Biden, I'm going to ask you. Tell me what happened with Bank of America in your mind.
In my mind.
What happened with hating Bank of America?
They wouldn't tell me the truth. I was looking for truth.
Okay. So still, you're still embroiled in that difficulty. It is not solved?
What was that?
Has the problem solved? Not yet?
Yeah. Yeah.
It has?
Yeah, the money will always be there.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just how to get it.
Okay. Aha. So there's no real threat. The money will always be there.
It's always there.
There's an inconvenience of how to get to it.
Yeah.
But that's not... you're not afraid of that. You're afraid of the money being gone, maybe? Or the ego is touching into the money not available? The fear was not... it wasn't warranted. Is that true? The tone of your voice says the money will always be there.
Yeah.
You relaxed. I heard you. I felt you relax when you said that.
Yeah.
Some inconveniences between you and the money, apparently, but the kind of anxiety is not merited that you had me.
I want to know the truth. Yeah.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Am I good enough?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes I believe it.
Yes. So there's a part of your mind that would look at the situation and would weigh in on whether you're good enough. A part of your mind that's weighed in a few times, not as often as the dark part, but when it does weigh in, it's a good moment. Says not only are you good enough, this is all for you. It's all for you. That's the reinterpretation of a situation. That moment of relief is always waiting, but it must be asked. If you don't ask, then you'll still be underneath the surface trying to breathe in water. You will drown. It's very heavy, this ego in this world. But oh my goodness, all we have to do is stop that cycle of worry or fear or guilt, whether it's a medical thing or a money thing or a time thing. I had time things all through my life. And there's one moment I thought, as I'm later and later, again, later and later, but I've got to get this x-ray, I've got to take a trip, I'm in this. It's downstairs at the x-ray machine, and I'm just waiting. And I just thought, wait a minute, what am I doing worrying about? I took a few breaths, and I thought, I have all the time there is. I will use it as I use it. I have all the time there actually is. And somehow that little phrase just released me. That it would all just work exactly as it's going to work. And I stopped worrying about it. And boom, a miracle occurred with that shift. Never forgot that shift in perception. The Holy Spirit reinterpreted everything instantly because I asked. I said, wait, stop. What's going on here? How can I be free now? Well, how about this? You're worried about time? I'm going to give you all the time you will have for the rest of your life. I'm going to give it all to you right now. I said, okay. Oh, well, I guess I'm good to go. It was funny. It's funny. So stop and ask. No need to worry. Good. Truth is waiting. And then that's the holy instant when you had those moments when you relaxed. That's out of time, and that's outside of space. In those holy instants when you relax and you let the problem go. This is what we want to focus on. That instant. Carol, is there a time in your life when you were
all contracted and bundled up, and then you got released?
Yeah, last week.
Okay.
I've been a realtor for a very long time, and every 4 years we need to get 45 certificate hours to get relicensed. And I'm days away from the exemption with my age. So I thought, I mean, the tests are ridiculous. You know, you spend this much paper if you print it to study for all the for the exams to pass. And I thought, I know all of this. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And so my broker actually wrote a letter saying, she's this fabulous realtor, she's days away from the exemption, you know. And I didn't hear back from them. So I used my old skills from something in personnel in the past and found out the name of the person I could talk to at the state. I wasn't going to give up. I thought, I'm just going to, you know, talk to her and convince her I'm only a few days away. So anyway, I was very proud of myself because I finally got to talk to this woman instead of just the first person trying to say, well, you'll hear by mail an answer to your letters. And she said, no, if it were tomorrow, I couldn't change it for you. You know, it's days away, you know. So I began studying. I even woke up at 4 in the morning once and started doing the reading and just kind of plodding through and just being annoyed the whole time. Just studying for, and then taking a quiz and studying some more. And then all of a sudden, it was as if I was over here watching myself being so pissy about it, just being so mad that I was having to do this.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden I started laughing, literally, by myself.
Yeah.
I was sitting at the dining room table and I had a blooming gardenia and a candle. I was trying to just set this. And I just shifted. I started laughing as I was watching this person that was spending all these hours being so annoyed, like, I know this stuff. Why do I have to do this? I've been doing this for years. And I got the giggles, and I called a friend and just told her how I'd been laughing hysterically about this. And all of a sudden, I just breezed through it. I just went through all the quizzes, got them all done, and then took the finals, and it was done.
There we go.
But it was hysterical the way I wasted all this time.
Yes.
Being so mad at the system.
Yes.
That wouldn't allow me a few days.
Yes.
You know, anyway.
So then you relieved.
And all this, I mean, it was real anger. It takes a lot to get me angry, but boy, that really had me angry.
Yes. And then somehow you stepped outside of yourself, saw yourself sitting at that little table with the candle and the... and you saw, I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I am going to do this. Why do I need to get in my own way and aggravate myself also? I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it and be angry, continue to be angry about it. That was the miracle. You shifted your perception about what you were doing from somebody who was a victim to somebody who was free to just do it. And now forgiveness had to occur, which is to stop thinking about being so victimized by the state and by the rules and by 3 days or whatever. That's forgiveness. To let go of those thoughts. And then look what happened. The color returned to your face. The time came back. Everything's smooth.
Well, and it was interesting because then I had this, just this feeling of, wow, this feels so great. Just an awareness of how I didn't want to do that to myself again.
Nice.
To remember
how
this was, that I could, you know, make that.
You have the power to take away. So this couple of lessons are brushing into my head. You know, I can be hurt only by my thoughts. It can be about myself. I crucify Here you are pounding yourself onto a cross. Try and hold a hammer with your foot so you can get to this. I mean, why? You don't need to be. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Good, good, good.
Well, thank you, because right now you are reliving the holy instant. I can see it, even as you tell me. Mm-hmm. I can see that you're celebrating your freedom of mind.
Oh, yeah. I've had two friends take me out for dinner, and we're drinking champagne and doing all these things, and I'm saying, this was so much fun.
Good, Carol. Good. This is you. This is the power you have.
Yeah.
You need never suffer again. Good. Well, there's a situation in your life that was all knotted up, and then somebody solved it. It's like
that. Well, the most memorable holy instant was it happened years ago. It involves a relationship, and she said no, and I was devastated. Mm. And I went on for weeks. Mm. I was even physically ill.
Yeah.
And weeks later, I have this realization that I was holding on to some expectations, my expectations, that I should have dropped when she said no, but I continued to hold on to them.
Nice.
And the moment that I realized I was causing my own suffering, it's like I was in this jail cell. And the moment I saw what I was doing to myself, those bars just vaporized.
And just like that.
And I was yelling and screaming and laughing. I did this for hours. Long enough to write about it later that day.
Just like that.
Just like that. I mean, just like that.
Change in mind and their world changed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a lesson that is 236 says, I rule my mind, comma, which I alone must rule. We'll read that after we go around. Good, Walt. Luann, there's a situation in your life that was...
Well, I've had a few, not as many as I'd like, but just recently, someone said something to me that got a part of me really afraid.
Uh-huh.
And so afraid that I didn't sleep well for 2 or 3 nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, I've got to figure out what I can do not to be afraid anymore. Mm. And this is where my ego came in. My ego thought that I should be able to figure out a way not to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on for quite a while. Couldn't think of anything that made it go away. I couldn't come up with a thought that would make it go away. And then finally, I said, you know what? I can't do this. And I said, the only place I can go that could do it is the Holy Spirit to ask what I should do. And as soon as I said that, it was like the whole thing went away. It was like instantaneously, I wasn't afraid. My ego about thinking I could take care of it, I didn't have to do anything. It was just gone.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that busting not only the ego but the whole world story? That you could be free in that instant, even without an answer. You could be free for the asking.
It was trust that the Holy Spirit would tell me what to do when there was something I could do, and if I didn't ever have anything to do, that was okay too.
And you knew there was a bigger picture where there wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
Like with Kenny and the banking thing. He kind of knows the big picture, it's going to be fine. I'm really inconvenienced, he says. But actually, it'll work out fine. Carol says, I don't really need to be this all knotted up. The state isn't listening. They already said no! Walt says, well, she said no, and now that it's been a few days and weeks, I think she meant it. Finally, he admits. No. You can't blame her. She actually said no. He's got to blame him. He's all right. I'm going to mess up off the hook.
My biggest lesson for that was that believing that I can solve everything in my life isn't true.
Right, because you're the reason there are problems in your life. Remember? It says this on page 298. We go out once in a while. It says, you cannot be your let's go look at that.
Savior?
Yeah, 298 in the text. You cannot be your guide to miracles because it is you who made them necessary. It's 298, paragraph 7, sentence 1. You got to read this with your own eyes. It's Jesus saying, look, I know you'd like to help, but you're the problem. See, that's why I'm really not looking to you for answers. 298.
Remember your track record.
Yeah. 298, paragraph 7, sentence 1. It says, Luann, you cannot be your guide to miracles because it's you who made them necessary.
It's
298 in the text. Yeah, you there? Chapter 14?
No, this is weird. I'm on chapter 14, but what paragraph did you read?
Paragraph 7.
Does that start off with "you cannot be"?
You cannot read it, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There it is.
Read that for us, right? It's kind of nice. We're going to do this backward. Usually we read this second. We're going to read this first.
You cannot be your guide to miracles, for it is you who made them necessary.
And that's really it. That's what we're...
That's a succinct...
It's like... If you're so busy, the way and searching for a problem, that's the ego trying to come up with some practical solution. Mm-hmm. You know what's more important?
You can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what Kenny says. This is just banking. This is banking. People solve these problems all the time. This manager should solve this problem for me all the time. Of Course in Miracles says, would you rather be right about the banking, right about, or would you rather be happy right now? Mm-hmm. Hmm. When you switch the goal to happiness, you reclaim your spiritual presence.
Interesting.
And the problem shifts around. When Walt decides he'd rather be happy than continue to go fishing for this, he's reborn. So look at the top of that page. Those italics is one of our toolbox items. Ray, would you read that for us?
Which one?
The italics on top of the page.
Oh, yeah.
I do not know
what anything including this means. And so I do not know how to respond to it. And I will not use my own past learning as the light to guide me now.
In other words, Jesus is saying, you're fired. Fire your ego. It's the reason you're in trouble. Your ego and all your stinking thinking of the past is what got you into this situation.
I forgot that paragraph or that toolbox thing.
It's such a pithy... Oh, and then it doesn't stop there, actually. If you want to know, okay, fine, thanks for telling me that my past, which I read in the workbook, thank you very much, I'm preoccupied with past thoughts. I give all that... Everything I see, the meaning it has for me. I know that, but how do I fix the problem? It hurts. I'm in pain. Well, check out the next sentence, right?
The one about, and because you did?
By this refusal.
Oh, by this refusal to attempt to teach yourself what you do not know, the guide whom God has given you will speak to you. I don't know if I read that with the right emphasis.
You did.
He will take his rightful place in your awareness the instant you abandon it and offer it to him.
So there is how you call on the Holy Spirit. There is what to do in order, like Luann explained to us, what to do to hear the Holy Spirit to get this miracle jazz going on. And it's also when you will hear the Holy Spirit. It's all in those few brief sentences, and you did it. Because, you know, she said, Luann says she later refused to attempt. She tried it already. That's why she got tired.
Well, but it was like, it was scary to think I couldn't do it. So that made it even worse.
Yes, and you know whenever you're scared, it's the ego.
Yeah.
Time to stop that thinking. I know you know that. You've told me that before. By this refusal to attempt to teach yourself what you do not know.
Great.
Now the capital letters come in. The guide whom God has given you, the Holy Spirit, will speak to you. So that's how you do it. That's how you hear the Holy Spirit's voice.
It's like swinging on one rope, you know, and you know you're going to grab the other one, but I don't trust that other rope over there.
I got this one.
Yeah, I got this one.
Yeah. If you hang on to it, it's going to swing you right back to where you started. Yes.
There is no rope, though.
Oh, he's going metaphysical on us.
Oh, I had to say.
So, very good. Thank
you,
Dad.
So, what about when you do your own interpretations of why something is...
That says because you know what you think. You think you know what it means.
You think you know what it means, so you do your own interpretation.
That's right, yes.
I think.
You will delay joy. You will delay the holy instant.
Kind of keep putting it off.
If you put it off, you'll come up with some worldly solution. And if you're still worried about it, you're not free.
Yeah, that's the sensation I got. When I'm free, I haven't figured this out.
What I like about Luann's story is she got the answer, which was, I just want to be free enough to go to sleep. That's what she worked really after. 3 days, that's a lot. She got it. The minute she said, I'm turning this over, I can't do it. The minute she did pay $298, says, I don't know what my own past, I don't know what this means. I can't use my own past learning as a light to guide me now. Hmm. That's essentially what you did. So you let go. Oh, you took an easy breath, you popped up, you went right to the surface, and you breathed easy air.
It was such a relief not to stay with my own thoughts.
Yes. Yes, beautiful. You'd rather be happy than right in that instant. And trust. Kenny, you could trust Bank of America. The money will always be there. Oh, good. You don't need to change that.
How is that possible?
The Bank of America always.
Oh, that's a separate meeting.
What happened to me? Yeah.
The Bank of America 12-step meeting. That's next week.
Our government doesn't want
Just forgive it and move on.
That's Brother John, what's something in your life where it was all knotted up?
They changed it.
Well, and I wasn't knotted up.
Okay, well, I turned up, whenever I turn the Holy Spirit on anything that I just can't figure out, ego-wise,
yeah,
it works.
Ha.
It works. It, you know, sometimes whether I should, like, fight,
yes,
you know, physically fight someone,
yep,
because they think they can, you know, be bullying somebody who's not as big as they are.
Yeah.
I've experienced that a few times in my life. And the only way you handle that in life is if you stand up to it.
Uh-huh.
I've learned.
Uh-huh.
But nowadays I'm trying to forgive.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to have to resort to something like that may even land me in jail if I want to win.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go back to jail. I mean, I haven't had a lot of time or anything.
Yeah.
But that's no place for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, but then I really, but the downside of this,
yeah,
that sounds good.
Uh-huh.
The downside is it's like I get pissed off, very, very angry that somebody is making me have to think this.
Yes.
That somebody's forcing me to think negative thoughts about my future.
Yes, yes.
And that adds the initial insult.
Yes.
Of actually pretending that they're tougher than me and can say uh-huh. demeaning uh-huh. things or whatever it might be.
Yep.
And that kind of builds.
It builds, doesn't it?
And the ego, oh my God, the ego just eats that up.
Like, Carol was practically breaking a sweat as it was building on how frustrated she was. The Seneca, it's like 9 o'clock at night, they all gone home, they're watching Netflix. She can't fix this with the state. She's going to have to take this test. She's already 5 hours into it, and the candle's halfway
You're watering down my delivery, dude.
I am, because you're getting pretty excited.
Let me just finish. You don't need to water it down. Everything's fine.
Bring it on.
So I'm tripping. I'm thinking, you know, how do I deal with this? Oh, I'm very tall. I'm fucking owner. No, I better not do that. I'll just turn into right away. And how do I let this idiot know? I mean, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And this goes on.
It builds.
And I'm trying to think of every possible solution, to handle this and save face at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is ego. Truly, it is.
That's a dance.
And so I just got to the point. So I can't figure it out. I cannot figure this out. I'm going to take some advice. I'm giving it to the Holy Spirit. I'm just giving it to the Holy Spirit. Every bit of it. I cannot figure this out.
Yeah.
I cannot figure it out. And a very short time later, I got a sense of peace. You wouldn't believe. I mean, you wouldn't believe. Just a sense of peace about the whole thing. It's just indescribable. Mm. I was just...
That's probably true, isn't it? Not describable.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, it's personal. It's deeply personal.
Yeah.
And so I get this feeling of real, authentic peace. And I know the Holy Spirit heard me. and I felt relaxed, cool about everything. I was not tripping anymore.
Yeah, wow.
And you know about the problem, incidentally? Huh. Yeah, it went away. Nothing ever happened.
Nothing ever happened.
It's happened twice.
Wow.
Two different things. I'm not going to go into the other things.
Yes.
But this is real.
Nothing ever happened with that problem.
Nothing ever happened with that problem.
So even when it started, since nothing ever happened, nothing was ever going to happen.
Well, I tried to anticipate every happening.
There's the arrogant, it's working.
Every possible happening.
That's it, protect yourself. And I have some fear, use fear as a defense.
Right. Uh-huh. And so I gave this, the Holy Spirit just submitted it to it without any judgment on the problem. And then once I did that, I had a sense of peace.
Wow.
And I could sleep.
Just like that. A thought.
This problem went away. Just nothing. So I know the Holy Spirit's in charge.
Beautiful. Thank you, John. Perfect. Turn to page 410 in the workbook. Oh, Ray, you ready?
Sure.
You got a situation in your life?
Sure.
410.
Let's see. My wife has three kids from a previous marriage, and I have two. And one of the daughters of my wife, my stepdaughter, she lives in Hawaii, and she just moved there recently because she has one of her younger daughters, who's about 17 now, is kind of, she's black and white, so she has trouble fitting in. Mm-hmm. So they were living in Williams, Oregon, and the daughter was really unhappy and uncomfortable. She didn't have anyone to relate to, really, because she related to them in terms of their color and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So she said, "Mom, can we move to Hawaii?" So her mom doesn't have anyone, you know, she cleans houses and clips buds for pot and stuff like that to make money, you know, things like that. So she said, "Yeah, okay, we'll move there. You know, I have some friends there." So they moved there into Maui, because she has some friends there. Mm-hmm. And a little backdrop on this is that she has stage 4 cancer. Huh. And so she's trying to do the best she can. She can't work really well. So we're talking to her on the phone, trying to get her to get SSI and get some income so she could take care of herself. Mm-hmm. And we're sending her a tumble glass for her, so she has kind of like, so it looks like sea glass, you know, and it costs almost as much money to send us as heavy.
Yeah.
Send her the money.
Yeah.
Buy the glass there. Anyway, she has about $20,000+ of credit card debt. Mm. She's really worried about that and really worried how she's going to pay it off and everything. And so I told my wife, I said, you know, let's get the information together. Let's go after this thing. Let's try to fix it for her in some way, you know. So anyway, I'm not trying to drag this on too long, but just so you get a context of that. So we got all our bank statement, we got all the bank stuff and information like that, and you know, calling up, and I'm can hear myself being kind of aggressive, feel a little about, you know, we need to talk to somebody who can help us out here and everything else. And anyway, long story short about that, my wife, these are three different banks too, one of them being Bank of America. She got a hold of some Ben, and she started explaining the story to her, and she had a nice sound in her voice, my wife did, when she was talking to this guy. And he says, oh, he says, please send her our prayers. He says, you don't have to worry about any of that sort of thing. We will just write it off.
Ah!
That's what we do. What? Here, you know.
All right, wow.
But each bank said that same thing. Says, you don't have to worry about this.
Huh.
And I thought, whoa.
They have a debt relief program for people with cancer. Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway.
Now, what happened to you? You're all ready to fight.
Yeah. It's like, oh, my
God. You got your wife on the phone. You're ready as the backup.
Right. I've talked to these people here before and everything else, and got to kind of run around, and you know, got this and that and the other thing and everything else.
You got a few ideas on how you could convince them to change the interest rate or something.
Right, yeah, exactly. I actually proposed that. I said, how about if we pay, instead of 16%, we pay 3%?
Yeah, you got some clever ideas. The ego's ready to, ready to fight.
Would you willing to accept that? No.
Yeah.
No, they weren't willing to accept that.
Yeah.
They just write it off. Where was I?
Yeah, something you didn't know was true.
Yeah, yes.
And not for one bank, for three banks.
Yeah.
Was true for all of them. But you didn't know.
I didn't know.
Can we read that again? I'll read it for you out of memory. It says, I don't know what this is for, including this. I don't know what this means.
Right.
But if I don't know, then I can't use my own past learning as a light to somehow guide me through something I don't know.
Right.
That's a great example.
Yeah, I love that. When I was reading that, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So then...
Hi.
So then, things shifted.
Immediately, everything was like, "Wow, I thought there was a problem. I thought there was a problem. Yeah. I didn't know there wasn't a problem.
You didn't know that there wasn't a problem.
It makes sense though, because if banks are selling credit lines.
Yeah,
they're accused of usury.
But
too many lawsuits.
Oh, just like with you, the fact is, from the beginning, there wasn't a problem.
Right. I mean, there was kind of working your way up until you get to the right person, but they didn't know either.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we finally got to the person who knew.
Yes. But then now, you have to shift gears from being ready to fight.
Right.
And take the next phone call and get to the supervisor.
Right.
Or the newspaper.
Right.
Why don't we write this up?
I've heard that.
Somebody has to let all that go. Because you were ready, Ray. You were informed.
I was ready. I had all the paperwork down there. And
So that calls for forgiveness inside your own mind. Because it's all geared up. And if you were busy telling the story to other people and on other ways that you could have fought, you're right back in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Walt. Walt, for weeks, continued to fight, even though there was nobody there.
It's a little bit like your car story too. You go to the parking lot, the car's like there, somebody must have taken it.
Yes.
It's a little bit like that one.
Yeah. Boy, you can really make yourself suffer.
I do it all the time. I lose something. I wonder who did that.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was me.
And then the car's still there. It's just two spaces up. Oh, I'm okay. And you have to drain out now that little residual thinking about the problem. The sooner the better to return to happiness. We're talking about leading up to the holy instant. And we're going to focus on that relief.
Another one similar to that, but a shorter one. It's like we're redoing the bathroom of the we have a family cabin up in Northern California. Mm-hmm. And my son ordered windows and things from Lowe's. Mm-hmm. And so we were going to pick them up on the way up there. So we picked all this stuff up in these boxes and everything else. And we got them up there. The mirror was twice the size as the cabinet, they said. So it was the wrong thing. Oh. And he couldn't get anywhere with them. He was just, I can't talk to him anymore, Dad. I'm done, you know, with them. So I said, well, I think I'm going to try. And I said, where did you get them from? So I called the place where they were sent to Lowe's from, where Lowe's ordered them from. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking to them, and I said, you know, I got these mirrors, and I said, they're two, they gave them the size, and I said, they're the wrong size, and this is the size of the cabinet. Mm-hmm. She said, oh, well, she said, we'll send you some new ones. Huh. I said, what would you like me to do with the other ones? Because these are expensive cut glass and mirrors. I said, what would you like me to do? And she said, use them for target practice. I thought I was going to ship them back.
Right, yeah, right.
I said, will you say that again? She said, do whatever you want with them. She said, we don't want them back.
She had the ability in that moment to just end pain. But then you had to de-escalate.
Yes, I said, you just made my day. I said, thank you.
You said, thank you. Yeah. That's a de-escalation. Thank you is the opposite of, hey, there was a problem somewhere, and it wasn't us. Somewhere, I'm not sure who, I don't want to point any fingers, but you were ready to fight.
Yeah.
And defend or attack as necessary. Mm-hmm. And you switched to thank you. Thank you is the opposite of, I hate you. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of forgiveness. The miracle's in place, you can afford to say thank you. Now, after you heard yourself say thank you, that's proof the problem is over.
Mm-hmm. She was so delightfully easy to talk to. It was just amazing.
Look at that. Yeah.
I mean, I did go into this one with a little softer thing than the bank thing. I went into it a little bit softer.
Okay, all right.
But there's no difference in miracles.
No difference in miracles.
Yeah, love talks to love.
Yeah.
That's one thing dealing with customer service people, is hate talks to hate and love talks to love. Oh, the sooner you figure that out, the more love you'll have in your life.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They only know their own language. Hate knows hate, and love knows love.
Whoa.
They do not cross.
That's really, really nice.
Yeah, isn't it beautiful? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how many times I have to hear some of that stuff over and over in different ways, in different directions.
I know
the bottom side up and the upside bottom.
Right, twist it and turn it, and then you own it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what practice is for. Yeah, that's what it is. I'm not going to put you on the spot.
I have one.
You got one? Bring it.
I will tell you, tomorrow is move-in day at UCSC for me.
Oh, boy.
Which is why I'm late.
Ah.
But I will tell you that this time last year was hell. Every problem that could possibly happened over 3 weeks in a row, and I was stressed to the max. Mm. Nothing could go right, and I was just like, that was not how it was going to be this year.
Huh.
And so I had, not only did we do some actual preparations that helped, but also just had such a different perspective. And especially this last week, because there was so much left to do, even though we were in a better place than last year.
Yeah.
But I just had, partly because of the time lesson we did 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. partly because of my own awakenings around time, it's like this last week, it's like I have all the time in the world. That's all I have, right? Like it's in a different sense, in a spiritual sense, it's like this time isn't even a thing. So it's what I tell myself that I have. So I was like, I have all the time in the week, all the time in the world this week, and it all got done. So,
bravo. Anyway,
I
remember
here.
Last year.
I might only be here 30 minutes, but I could come here.
Yeah.
And I wanted this before tomorrow. So.
Bravo. I remember last year.
I was like ready to quit.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you were shaking.
For weeks. Yeah. Like it was hell. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's different now. Wow. Yes, you're not letting the past teach you. You're taking your confidence, and also you've set the goal ahead of time. It's on mm-hmm. your face right now. Mm-hmm. We're just going to do this thing.
Yep.
And we're going to do it peacefully.
I've not been stressed like all week. Other people around me are, and I'm like, God, oh, this is floating through it.
Right. I love it. Yeah. Good. Good. Beautiful example. Yeah. Yes. And this is the success we have in holy relationship. All holy relationships start with special relationships that are conditional. Julie, with your job, it was very conditional whether or not you could even survive move-in day. With all those people and somebody's going to show up and oh my God, and it'll be all on you. And that's a special relationship environment where it's quite possible, if not likely, there will be a loser. Maybe everybody loses even. The holy relationship looks beyond to the bigger picture. Like with Kenny. Kenny stepped back and he saw the bigger picture just for a few seconds maybe. But he was like, ah, I don't have to worry too much. You don't have to worry too much, actually. It's a waste. Mm-hmm. Luann went all the way to, oh my God, I really don't even know. I don't have to worry at all. Because I'm going to turn it all over. I don't even know. I don't know how to solve this. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The minute you admit that, that you don't know, since page 298, you are the reason why you need miracles. The minute you admit that you don't know, that's what we read about. Now you're letting the Holy Spirit come in and know for you. And in your case, confidence returned. And trust returned to the bigger picture once you got out of the way. Beautiful, beautiful. Same for you.
You're there.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay, well, let's read a couple of goodies on this before we do our paragraph. Turn to page 410 in the workbook. Mm-hmm. And look at one of our old standbys. This is a passage you must witness. In your own mind, you have to witness this passage, this personal power that is built into you and have come with you every day of your life. And it's your own power to choose. Mm-hmm. It's the end of victimhood. You have to witness this. You have to actually see that you are not powerless. You're not pushed in a corner. And it sounds like this. Is it, you want to read it for us?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I rule my mind, which I alone must rule. I have a kingdom I must rule. At times it does not seem I am its king at all. It seems to triumph over me and tell me what to think, what to do, and feel. And yet it has been given me to serve whatever purpose I perceive in it. My mind can only serve. Today, I give it service to the Holy Spirit to employ as He sees fit. I thus direct my mind, which I alone can rule, and thus I set it free to do the will of God.
Either you do that or you continue to suffer with the victimhood of the stories we've heard that all says how much trouble you could be in. You could work up a huge storm around that move-in tomorrow. You know better. Mm-hmm. You could work up a huge storm about that driver's license stuff. Nah, you just absolutely headed it off of the past and you took all your confidence back and says, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to do it again. Mm-hmm. Yes, instantly shifts in your mind. Look at page 300 in the workbook. 361 in the workbook now. Just turn back, I don't know, 30, 40 pages. Can you go right to it?
Split second.
Oh, well, then you read it. Paragraph 5.
Paragraph 5.
Paragraph 5 on page 361 in the workbook.
It is your thoughts alone that cause you pain.
Aha!
Oh my goodness.
Without the histrionics.
Your thoughts alone. Nothing external to your mind can hurt or injure you in any way.
This is metaphysics.
Wow. There is no cause beyond yourself that can reach down and bring oppression. No one but yourself affects you.
He's saying the same thing over and over and pounding it into your head.
There is nothing in the world that has the power to make you ill or sad or weak or frail.
Do you think he means what he's saying? Now that he's said it five times and he's not right. done yet. There's a message here he's hoping you sort of pick up. Please continue.
But it is you who have the power to dominate all things you see by merely recognizing what you are. As you perceive the harmlessness in them, they will accept your holy will as theirs. And what was seen as fearful now becomes a source of innocence and holiness.
Like going after a manufacturer in a window or a bank that you legitimately owe money to.
Well...
And that becomes a picture of innocence and forgiveness, literally. They want to help. They don't want that money. They want to help. A picture of innocence, the opposite of what you expect them to find. What a great example. Turn all the way to the text. We just read this, we're about to read it. We just read this, 432, page 432. In the text. Yeah, we just read this. Can't read this enough. Paragraph 1.
I was just going to ask you that question about where it says that,
right?
Seriously.
Just to show you how consistent A Course in Miracles is, it means what it says, and it will say it again and again and again. And you'll find yourself one day, if you're in the lesson somewhere, and you'll remember we did this on page 432, and you'll just hear this ringing in your mind, and you'll know that what you're pursuing is true. That you do not have to suffer as a victim. If you want happiness, it's one thought away. Look, that's just true. But you know what? With as difficult as the world is, it doesn't seem like it's always... It seems like you're not really free to rule your mind sometimes. But if we're going to wake up, then you must experience this power you have. That's what we're here to do. Experience this power that you have. Julie, you want to read that for us? Paragraph 1.
Sure. Entering the Ark. Nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power to do so. Yet you give power, as the laws of this world interpret giving. As you give, you lose.
As the world interprets giving, when you give, you lose.
It is not up to you to give power at all. Power is of God, given him and reawakened by the Holy Spirit, who knows that as you give, you gain. He gives no power to sin, and therefore it has none, nor to its results as this world sees them.
And sin is separation and loss, and the experience of lack. That's what this course means by sin. And so, if you don't give it power, like Walt had this girl who would just work out. Everything was going to be so fun. No, it's not. Until he decided that there was not going to be an unfair loss. Until he decided there was no sin in what she said. And then there was no sin in him thinking about it. Until he let himself off the hook, he would suffer. And suffer more. But the power of the truth is waiting. The power of the truth. And you know what the truth was? It's the same thing. The short sentence that she said in the beginning was no. And that kept running through his head, but he ignored it. but it was the one that would set him free. The same thing that was imprisoning him was the same word, same words. It was the same sentence that would set him free when he looked at it with the right mind instead of the wrong mind. Please continue.
He gives no power to sin, and therefore it has none, nor to its results as this world sees them, sickness and death and misery and pain. These things have not occurred because the Holy Spirit sees them not and gives no power to their seeming source. Thus would he keep you free of them, being without illusion of what you are. The Holy Spirit merely gives everything to God, who has already given and received all that is true. The untrue he has neither received nor given.
In the first sentence, one more time.
Nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power to do so.
That's it. Okay, now, just turn a couple of pages to page 435. 435. Let's tackle paragraph 6. You ready for us, Kenny?
Sure. You look upon each holy instant as a different point of time. It never changes. All that it ever held or will ever hold is there right now.
Yeah, right now.
The past takes nothing from it, and the future will add no more.
Here it comes. This sentence should be underlined in your book.
It is.
Okay. All right, you're right.
Gold star. Here then is everything.
Bingo. Man, short sentence. Please continue.
There is the loneliness of your relationship.
Well, you try that again.
Here. Oh, thank you. Here is the loneliness of.
Yeah, we got to get you new glasses.
Loneliness.
Well, it's better than lonely. Better than lonely. It's lovely.
Here loveliness. Is the loveliness of your relationship with means and end in perfect harmony already.
Nice.
Here is the perfect faith that you will one day offer to you, brother, already offered you. And there, the loneliness, forgiveness, whatever all that is. Okay, already seen. Good.
Okay, all right, good. All right, wrap that up. Let's go through it again together. Okay, you, and that should not be capitalized, but it's beginning of a sentence, so it has to be capitalized. But it really means you stinking little petulant ego. You separated one. You.
I'm right.
That's the you we're talking about. You look upon each holy instant as a different point in time.
Oh, what?
Your little spiritual ego looks at each holy instant as a special, unique gift. Never to be seen again, maybe. Lucky to have it. That's how you look at each holy instant. He says, hey, got news for you. A holy instant never changes. There aren't a bunch of holy instances. There's not a bunch of time either, but it may be too much for you all at once. But I want you to know, you look at these as special little things in your life. Mm-hmm. They are the truth simply surfacing. It is love surfacing. Everybody wants to help. If they can possibly afford to do it, they will. Beautiful examples. It all the same relief that you had that allowed you to go to sleep was the same relief that you had 20 years ago when some other problem just went away and you just stopped worrying about it, at least for a night.
You know, the truth, though, is for me, I always know the Holy Instant is available.
Aha.
And that is a huge feeling of happiness for me.
Nice.
To know that.
You recognize that it's always available.
That doesn't mean I always use it, but I know it's always available.
But it's there.
Yeah.
It's there.
And I get holy instances every time I do the kind of forgiveness this book is teaching too.
Just waiting for you. Yeah. Next sentence, 3. It says, all that the holy instant ever held, ever, or will ever hold, is right here now. All the goodness that maybe you think if you get to heaven and you do things right and you get blessed and you've, you know, done your workbook lessons 16 times, then you'll be free. Maybe that's what your ego's been telling you. He's saying, look, all that the holy instant will ever hold is here right now. It's you who went into time looking for it later. Or into the past where you thought you had it. Hey, I really had it. There was one in a couple hours or days or weeks where I was really peaceful. I had it.
Chasing it.
Ah, you're chasing it. You're going back into time where it will never be found. He says, that's because it's right here. All those monks doing meditation to try to sit still for an instant. They're just trying to get here. They're just trying to arrive where they already are. They're trying to make the journey without distance. And that's what he's telling you right here. You know this is true. Check it out. You know it's true. The past takes nothing from the holy instant. And the future will add nothing more to what this holy instant holds. It does not change. It is you who close your eyes and dream yourself away from it, that there must be a problem with this many people coming to campus all at once. How could anybody survive that without swearing? You should start now. Get a jump start. Nah. Yeah, I'm done with that. I love it. Here, then, here now, whether you want to take space or time, doesn't matter, is everything. That's a huge sentence in just a few words. It's a huge metaphysical truth for you to absorb. Here, that if you're willing to see that in your holy instant, completion arrived. That's why I said in the meditation that you have to recognize you're actually stepping out of time. In that moment when you're breathing easy and you're no longer worrying about the problem, because you don't have to. In that moment when you're in the parking lot with your hands over your head and you breathe so easy like a little girl, there was no time or space. That was everything. That was the maximum you could handle. Any happier, and I think we did a hospital. The freedom you got, Walt, when you recognize, okay.
It's just so simple.
In that moment, all your power is returned to you. You are returned to you. Here, then, is everything. Yeah, it's all you were after anyway. Here is the loveliness of your relationship with means and end, what you need to do and what you're going to do in perfect harmony already. We're hinting at the holy relationship where you don't look at outcome, you look at the walk itself. You don't look, you don't demand that a certain thing happen. What you demand is how it's going to happen, and that's together hand in hand. It's so much different than fighting. Ray's on the phone with the customer support. And he says, well, I'll give you what I think you need to know. And I'm just going to use love as much as I can muster to just explain the problem. And this was inviting a holy relationship instead of a fight. I say, all right then, we'll walk together. Because love talks to love and hate talks to hate. Okay.
So the book keeps using the word means.
Yes. Yes.
The means is how to get there.
Yes. It is the practical how. Yes. The words we're going to use, or the fact that there's the banks already have a law in the books that says we're not going to demand money from a cancer patient. Mm-hmm. And that will solve the problem.
That's real bad press right there.
Yeah, but it's the means are there. The means are there to solve this problem. And for Carol, she's an experienced real estate agent who could have written that exam. And she's worried about studying to take. No, she's going to do it. The means were there already for her to be at peace. And the minute she accepted them, she zipped through it. And the stress was gone. Mm-hmm. And the ends was there, of course, as well. Yes. Here, in this holy instant, when you simply relax your mind and take the test, without all of this thinking, here in this moment when you say, I'm just going to turn it over and go to sleep, here in this instant is the perfect faith that you will one day offer your brother. Hopefully one day, you know, you hope to be able to share your awakening. This would be the greatest gift you could give in this world, is to be able to share your confidence that somebody else is not sick who thinks they're sick. Somebody else is not damned who thinks they're damned. This is the greatest gift you can give in a body, is to be able to somehow give your confidence that you know that they are a blessed extension of God and peace is one thought away. It's the greatest gift you'll ever give. But you will, and you have already here and there. Here is the perfect faith that you will one day offer to your brother, already offered to you. You see, in recognizing the relief of the holy instant, in feeling the confidence of turning it over to the Holy Spirit, and coming back to the present moment and saying, ah, that little surrender moment that was always waiting, you now know is waiting for anybody else who's willing to stop their stinking thinking. Just get present and take a breath inside of the present moment and feel the simplicity, and the pain goes away. You know this is true because it happened to you, and you didn't do anything special. In fact, what you did do is you undid. Anybody can do nothing. I mean, they could, theoretically, do nothing, like you did. Anybody could actually do that. Now, people are so knotted up in their head, they can worry for years before they get the guts to do nothing. But you know, they're one thought away. Isn't that great? And that is given you in this holy instant. So now you have the confidence that shows up on your face when you talk to people. Even though they may not get it right away, this is why the miracle is always effective. Mm-hmm. Because you own it yourself. Mm-hmm. You know there's other ways around problems. So you can see through them. And you take this confidence that you gave yourself that night. And it's with you now. Well, when you see somebody stressing over a girl who said no, you'll say, well, you know, the sun also rises. You can't necessarily stop them from crying right then, but the look on your face gave them something. You're not alone in the effect of your thoughts. And that is giving you that confidence that you would one day share, is giving you right now in this holy instant. This is what you grab. Her hands in the air, or use up and through that test, or Walt recognizing he can just go on with his life now and laugh. Bridget laughing at her issue. Those, that certainty, this is given you to give. It is, you won't be a situation that you're not familiar with when you go to share this one day in your life. Because it's their life, and they're not it up, and you don't really know what to say or what to do. But you have been healed yourself. So you know how, you know how the healing looks. And it's present. You will call upon the present moment, your holy instant in that situation. I'm just telling you right here in this one little sentence that that is given you. You are given now to be a teacher of truth. And here, the limitless forgiveness. Wow! Not just some limitless forgiveness. A certainty so strong that it's, you own it. You're the author of forgiveness practically. And here, right now, this moment, limitless forgiveness, you will give your brother who's struggling someday in the future, right? You will give him as already given. You'll be drawing on your knowledge of the holy instant. You can't do this with words. So do what you have to try. You do it with your calm forehead. When somebody says, this shouldn't be happening to me, oh my God, how am I going to deal with it? That moment, they will look up at you, and you will not be suffering with them. You'll be there. You're not going to be a jerk, right? You'll be there with them. But there's something about your forehead that's serene. There's something about your confidence that will speak for you. It will not be words. And that's because you've had a holy instant where you overcame a problem that looked like it was insurmountable, and then it was gone. Because you undid what you were doing. Not because you did something special. You simply stopped hating or worrying or struggling. You got out of the ego and you got into the present. And then things shifted. Isn't that great? It's right there. Here, limitless forgiveness that you will give him is given you already. The face of Christ you yet will look upon in that struggling person, right? Who's dealing with who knows what, and you'll be there. You have already seen that relaxed look on their face. Now, because you've seen it on your face, do you see it's one holy instant? The correction for that other moment, whenever that seems to be in time, has already occurred to you. It's real for you now. It's also real for them in you then. Do you see the one holy instant? That's what he's saying in that paragraph. That is entering into eternity.
All right. Can we get a circle now?
Yeah, let's have a circle.
All right.
Call it, John.
Yeah, it's a little tough.
Take a deep breath. You will not be going into a holy instant at any time in your life. You will discover yourself in a holy instant for the rest of your life. If you just stop. If you just stop the busy thinking and say, show me this differently now. You will fall into a present moment that's always been there, empowered with your own freedom to simply choose in that moment to be simple. To be simple. Not in the future, not in the past, not working out the details. To be simple. And from that peace opens up all sorts of possibilities. It's choose peace. Love will naturally come from you and go to wherever you're going, and love will be called upon in the other person's mind. Love speaks to love. Hate speaks to hate. Take your pick of which language and then go from there. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Thanks, everybody. We did it. One more paragraph.
Thank you so well.
Hey, glad you came.
Thanks.
Even the half hour.
It was very reassuring. Yeah, you know, that water.
I want it.